Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 77, and you'll find it on page 589 of the Pew Bibles. Psalm 77, starting at verse 1. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired, Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Amen.
And we read again from the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 15 at verse 21. Matthew 15 at verse 21. You'll find this on page 982 in the Pew Bible. 982. An encounter that Jesus had with a woman who stood outside the Orthodox Jewish faith. We are told that leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth for our continuance in faith. Now let us pray. God our Father, we approach your word with the confidence that it's possible for us to hear the very voice of your Son Jesus within ourselves. So we pray the Holy Spirit would be active today in mind and heart, that he would be present amongst us as a people and be our counselor and our guide for the sake of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Friends, I'm sure that at some point in your lives you've been involved in conversations about the greatest. Who was the greatest player? Who was the greatest actor? Who was the greatest writer? Who was the greatest politician? We might even have wondered with friends or family who have been the people who have demonstrated the greatest faith. Folk we've known or perhaps read about. That was something that Jesus was concerned about. People who showed faith in him. That really was the whole purpose of his mission, to draw all people to him. And at one point in his ministry, he was absolutely in no doubt as to the greatest demonstration of faith that he had ever seen. And the surprising thing about this was that it was a Roman centurion who demonstrated this faith. One of the pagan invaders who were despoiling the land of Israel at that time. This was a man of great authority, and he had come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And he approaches Jesus and asks Jesus if he might heal a servant that he's fond of, someone within his own household. And Jesus says, yes, I'll come to your house. And the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. I know what it is to give men orders, and they do it. And I believe that you can give the order, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus, we're told in the gospel, is absolutely astonished. We might nowadays say gobsmacked. And he says, I have never seen faith like this in the whole of Israel. And it's part of a pattern that Jesus is coming up against time and time again in the Gospels. That very often the people who show the greatest faith are those you would least expect to show it. And the woman that we read about in the Gospel according to Matthew, this Canaanite woman, now she's a case in point. She's described as a Canaanite woman. Now, a Canaanite, if you read the Old Testament, that was someone who stood against the ways of the God of Israel. A person who believed in a multiplicity of gods. A person whose values for life were dubious, to say the least. And she lived in this region of Tyre and Sidon, which was a Gentile region, where the vast majority of people there would stand outside the Orthodox Jewish faith. So there are many, many things that are standing against this woman. And yet she knows about Jesus. And she's willing to put her trust in Jesus. She comes to him with a great weight of anxiety resting upon her heart. I'm sure that there are many people here this morning who know what it's like to have a child who's ill, to have a child who is going through his or her worst of times, and what a heavy burden that can be for you to carry. And this woman comes to Jesus, and she's devastated because she says that her daughter is suffering terribly. She's suffering terribly from demon possession. And she believes that Jesus can make a difference, that Jesus can heal her. And you know, the thing that makes the biggest impact upon you at the very beginning of this story is the persistence of her faith. You know, she comes to Jesus with this request, Lord, Son of David. I mean, she knows who he is. And she says, have mercy upon me. And then there comes these shocking words, and really they are shocking, because Jesus does not answer a word. Jesus has nothing to say to this woman in the first instance. And the disciples, well, they're backing Jesus up at this point. You know, this is a pest of a woman, Lord. Just send her away. Why be bothered with her anymore. But then Jesus does speak. But it's not very encouraging. He says to this Canaanite woman, the one who stands outside the Orthodox Jewish faith, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The main purpose of my ministry is to embrace my own people. Now, there's no way around this. At that particular moment, it is like a door slamming in this woman's face. It's shocking for us to read this. And yet, it's not unknown for people of faith to come up against this brick wall, as it were, in times of difficulty. To feel that, as one Christian writer said, the heavens are as brass. Because you're crying out to God and there doesn't seem to be any answer coming. Like the psalmist in the psalm that Eleanor read to us earlier, who cries out to God, but his soul will not be comforted. It's as if he's come up against a closed door. And in another occasion, the psalmist pleads with God not to be silent anymore, but speak to me. And it's something that I'm sure many of us here this morning know all about. I'm always deeply moved when I read about C.S. Lewis's experience after his wife died. And he was going through this terrible experience of the loss of that one person who was so close. And he cries out to God for help in these circumstances. And he says in his book, A Grief Observed, he said, but what I find whenever I pray, a door is slammed in your face. And then the sound of bolting and re-bolting on the inside. And then silence. And this is what's been dramatized for us today. In that moment where Jesus has not a word to say to this woman. And yet she shows us the way forward even at that moment. Because she persists. She will not be silent in the face of this. I read recently someone who said that there comes a time in the lives of all people of faith when we have to stand stubbornly in the presence of God. We have to stand stubbornly in the presence of God. I know you're there. And I'll stand here until you bless my soul. Someone else once described it as hanging on in faith. You know this God that you worship. You know that He's there. And you trust in His ways with you. Now this woman, and we don't know how, we don't know why, but she knows about Jesus. She knows what He can do. And she won't be put off. She's the living embodiment of that teaching that Jesus shared with all His followers when He said, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and that slammed door will be opened. If you stand stubbornly in the presence of God, if you hang on in faith. And this woman, she's able to be persistent in her faith because her faith is so personal. And this is an astonishing thing when you come to it, because even after Jesus declares that his purpose was to save the lost sheep of Israel. She comes and she kneels before him. She throws herself down in front of the Lord and she says, Lord, help me. Just help me. And what about Jesus' reply at this point? Jesus says, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. It's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to their dogs. But even then, she's not put off. Because she says, well, and this is my paraphrase, but, you know, I know the Master. And will not the Master allow even the dogs to eat the crumbs that fall from the table? Isn't it possible that in the great purpose of God, which is revealed through Jesus, that even people like me can eat the crumbs? It's possible for me to fit in. And even though Jesus' purpose, the great purpose, was to show the kingdom of God in the present, in that moment, this woman can see herself being part of this in some way because she knows the Master. It's as deeply personal as that. She trusts in Jesus. And friends, what we have to realize is that this is what our Lord Jesus Christ appreciated most in his ministry. It's when people responded to his message. And when people realized that in a sense, he was the message. He was the one who stood at the very heart of his message. He wanted people to believe in him as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, as the one who in the end would bring the kingdom of God into the experience of men and women. And when people didn't recognize that, it caused Jesus considerable heartache. He was reduced to tears once when he considered the history of his people and how in so many ways it was a history of rejection. Rejection of everything that God was seeking to do in their midst and seeking to do through them. And that he was part of that. Because he was being rejected. The only Son of God. You know, Pope Benedict, the one after the present one, he once wrote this. He said, being a Christian is not the result of ethical choice or a lofty idea. Being a Christian is an encounter with an event. An encounter with a person which gives life a new horizon and a decisive direction. I don't think John Knox could have put it better. I love to read things like that. It puts Jesus at the very center. And Jesus was the center of this woman's faith. It wasn't a vague belief in something. You know, sometimes I've heard people say that, at least he believes in something. That would have broken Jesus' heart. What he's looking for are people who will respond to him and to believe in him. What was it he said? Come to me, all you who are carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Come to me, I will give you rest. So this faith of the woman, it's persistent and it's personal. And in the end, it's seen to be powerful. Because after that declaration of faith, Jesus says to her, "Woman, you have great faith. And your request is granted." And we're told that her daughter was healed from that very hour. You see, it occurred to me, friends, when I was struggling with this passage, yes, struggling, it occurred to me that when you enter into the world of Jesus, when you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then you become a part of a world that can change. You become part of a world that can change. And that, in the end, was the faith of this Canaanite woman. And I fear myself too often, and for the church at large, that we're far too timid in actually proclaiming this, in actually believing in this, that with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are part of a world that can change. You know, you've heard the saying, I'm sure, that it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And it's a favorite saying of people of faith and of no faith, that we can all make even a small contribution to the banishment of all the darkness that falls upon us as a people. I understand the appeal of that saying. But you know, friends, I think that we also have to hold in our minds that as the people of God, as Christ's people, we have a larger vision than just lighting candles. Because together, Jesus' vision for us is that we are the light of the world. Jesus' vision for us is that we're the salt of the earth. And that being his followers, there is a major impact upon the rest of the world. There is change. According to the values, according to the priorities of Almighty God. Is that not why we sing hymns like Shine, Jesus, Shine? Not just because it's a good sing. Surely. But to pray from the depths of our being, shine Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word. And let there be light. Catch us up in your holy will and let us be that people who see in that will the prospect for change. That we are a people who reflect our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are a people who are willing to show the world, that new horizon which he has established. That we are a people who will lead others forward in that decisive direction that Jesus himself has established for the world. I said a wee minute ago that I struggled with this passage. I always have. Because of Jesus' words and his apparent attitudes. You know, the door slamming in this woman's face. And apparently Jesus changes his mind when she's proved herself. I've always been uncomfortable with that. But you know, I think that something like this had to happen to a woman like that in the place where she stayed. Remember, this is Tyre and Sidon. It's a Gentile area. She is a Canaanite woman. And in this process of allowing this woman to demonstrate her faith in Jesus, what we're seeing, and it was seen publicly, is a decisive moment when Jesus was able to declare to everyone who was present and to those yet to come that God's purposes were not just confined to one wee nation of less than 5 million people. That faith in him would flare up amongst all the nations. And that God's purpose was to bring the nations to worship him and to reflect his being. At one level, maybe it was just a candle that was lit on this day. One girl was healed. But a message was being sent out to Israel. A message was being sent out to the whole world. That God's business was with the whole world. And that his purpose was to see men and women's hearts turned towards his son. That a blaze would be ignited. And that the hearts of men and women would be warmed in the love that was shown in Jesus' ministry. That one part of human history which assures us that things can change within our hearts, within the nations. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to grasp the vision you have for your people, that we might take the message into our community, into our nation, into the world. A message that focuses on Jesus, who he is, and what his mission is. Let our focus be entirely upon that, and may the glory be to his name. Amen.